We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Happy Friday before a long weekend. Stay cool out there. Man, we get horrible weather for 6 months, and then it goes to 90 degrees with humidity.
It's summer in the city. Yeah. I envied those who had the opportunity to get out of work today and enjoy the friendly confines. 41,177 in attendance. And what a show. If you like pitching, that was a good game to have a ticket to because both starters were terrific.
Yeah, except, I mean, Derek Holland isn't terrific.
He was today.
Yeah, I thought he was good. I think the Cubs' offense is just maddeningly inconsistent.
Well, they busted out of it for a four-run seventh.
Yep.
And a couple of clutch hits there. The venerable Ben Zobrist with the big blow. So you take him where you can find him. Your ball club scored 6 runs today. You'd like to see him get at it a little bit earlier so you don't have to make Kyle Hendricks sweat it out and go seven. But he did.
Yeah, Hendricks was great. Obviously, the runner and scoring position numbers were fantastic, right? They were 5 for their previous 49, I believe, runners in scoring position. Today, they were 4 for 9. Zobrist, as you mentioned, in the 7th. They worked counts in the 7th. Bryant in the 7th. But it reminded me of the Plutko start. Where it was like, this guy's
Adam Plutko throwing darts tonight.
I'm like, I know Derek Holland's not good. I saw him with the White Sox. I know he should not be dominating this Cubs lineup when the wind's blowing out and it's 80 degrees at Wrigley Field.
Baseball is meant to punish those who care. It truly is. Probably more than any other game because even good teams lose 30% of the time.
No question. And so it was just, it was the beginning portions of the game. First 3 innings, I was like, Kyle Hendricks might throw a perfect game today. Like, he looked so damn good. The changeup was biting. Like, he was hitting. Contreras wasn't moving his mitt an inch. Like, he was just hitting his spots. 27 pitches through the first 3 innings with 4 strikeouts. And then one mistake to the leadoff hitter, and he hits the home run, and it's tied. I'm like, oh, God, it would have just been a really hard luck loss for him if they would not have broke through in the 7th.
Yeah, and, you know, you go back to early in the game when the third base coach, Mr. Butterfield, gets arm happy. I don't know what. Yeah, why in the world are you? He had to hold up to make sure Rizzo's bloop single got down.
That was very aggressive. Aggressive?
I'm going stupid.
Throw beat him by a solid, 15 feet?
It happens pretty regularly, and I understand sometimes when you're not scoring a lot of runs, you put pressure on a defense to try to get a break.
Right.
But that was, I mean, an average throw, he was out by several steps.
Yeah, that's why at the beginning of the game, it was just frustrating because you just absolutely felt like Hendricks deserved better than they were giving. But where they sit now, you know, Hendricks is looking really good, obviously. Lester is throwback stuff. This is 2016 and before John Lester right now. Coming off of a great Quintana start, coming off a great Darvish start. You see them both before we're back on Tuesday. If they can start to pile it up and the starting pitching can look like we thought it was going to before the season, the bullpen's still been very good, and you assume the offense is going to continue to heat up as the weather does. Hopefully they can go on a little bit of a run here.
Yeah, it was hot for the first 6 innings, and they only muscled one out.
That's what I'm saying.
So you hope so.
But 6 runs.
And Quintana goes tomorrow night. Tomorrow, perfect that it's a night game, so we all can enjoy beautiful weather, which will continue tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, rare Saturday night game at Wrigley Field. It's a premium weekend. I got people coming in from out of town. They're like, can you get tickets to Wrigley tomorrow? I'm like, for free? 24 hours notice? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, you're the afternoon host. You're the guy photographed in all of the local newspapers earlier this week. You're on the Cubs flagship. You're connected.
It's understandable that they would ask. You're right. I am kind of a big deal. Yeah. I have many leather-bound books. It was just like, man, this is the Giants are in town. The weather's great. It's a holiday weekend. Come on, no freebies.
Yeah,
face value.
Yeah. Well, can you help them out?
I tried. Yeah, I got it.
Okay, good. You know people.
Make a couple of calls.
You don't want to admit to it, but you're guilty as charged.
A little. Got to take care of your people. But the other thing from today's game was just in terms of where very little with the Cubs right now feels easy. They should not have needed to use Morrow at the end of that game. Three pitching changes late, In a game that there was no business with that game having a save situation. Edwards is in, Dunsing's in that game, Strope's in that game, and obviously Morrow has to close it out. You got a long stretch of games coming up with this weekend in the weather. You did not need to go to two of those guys.
That threat came with two outs, too. Didn't all of it come with two outs in the Giants' ninth? I thought it did. I mean, it looked like they were cruising home, and then not so much.
Yeah, I would have probably stayed with Strope for another batter. The movement on that pitch was preposterous. Like he looks great and continues to look great, and that was easy, light work, single digit pitch outing. But still, it's like you don't want to have to do that going forward because the back end of the bullpen is in danger of being overworked. We're McNeil and Parkins on the score. This is WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX and HD2. Chicago.
We never talk about that HD2 frequency. I got to hear the last inning of the game today underground in a parking garage downtown today because of it. You lose the AM signal often in the concrete jungle.
Yeah.
But if you listen to it, you don't lose that.
I have to be honest with you.
It's a nice thing to have.
I've never had or checked out HD radio.
Yeah, well, you're a commuter who's usually on a train.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's even available on your TuneIn app. I would think that it's not.
I don't think so.
It's 104.3-2 FM.
Nice. Underground in the garage.
Yeah, underground in the garage. I'm getting Pat Hughes. And I wouldn't want to miss a minute of it because you never know when he's going to bring up Ron Santo's toupee catching on fire as he did today.
I looked over and there was a blue flame coming out of his head. I was like, really?
It smells like something's burning.
Yeah. Tell me.
Ronnie, it's that rug. It's that awful rug you call your hairpiece.
And then he put the postscript on the story. Like, yeah. 8 outs later, he's how does it look, Pat? It looks like Phil Mickelson took a wedge to it. That is a graphic description of the late, great Ron Santo's hair. But listen, the Cubs, they'll be fine. I still fully believe all of that. It's just until they do it consistently against good teams, those doubts are going to linger. Right? Because the Giants are not a good team. Cubs are over 500. Giants are 3 under.
The Giants are under 500, but they still have a pretty decent lineup. Don't you respect their lineup?
I respect their organization.
Yeah. I there's a few stretches in that lineup where you got to work to get out of it.
Yeah. It's just they've been inconsistent. I heard Coomer talk about how you got to give the championship medal of that organization credit for adding one run in the ninth inning. It's like, oh, they're up there. They're professionals. They're gonna continue to swing the bat. It's just the Cubs, I thought they should have overpowered that game today, frankly. And they ended up doing it. Like, I'm not 6-2 win.
They even covered the run line. I don't know what it was, but I'm sure they covered it.
Oh, I mean, the run line's always 1.5. It's just a question of the juice.
Is it always?
Always. 100% of the time.
Really?
100% of the time. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, +1.5, -1.5 with the old run line. It's just a question of your juice. They were -1.5, -130 today.
You're going to awaken some demons in me.
Oh.
Demons.
Yeah, well, hey.
Teaching me gambling.
A lot of baseball game. Listen, small gambling story for you today. I'm watching the game. They're a -250 favorite before, which is a huge baseball number to lay. I'm like, no, I'm not going to touch
that. You couldn't leave it alone.
So they're up 1-0. And Hendricks, like I said, is perfect through three. He looks like he's going to throw a perfect game. He is locked in. So they get to -360.
Uh-huh.
I log into the old live betting. -360. I'm going to be sitting here for the next 2 hours watching this game. Might as well make a little bit extra change.
Uh-huh.
Heading in the weekend. You can only live bet in baseball during the commercial breaks. So I fire in a small wager. Not a huge deal. Fire in the -360 wager. First batter of the next inning. Crack.
There
the
it goes.
Yeah, yeah. The Manny Machado sound. Except it's from a slap-hitting leadoff hitter, Hernandez, yeah. for the Giants. It's like... Like the exit velocity was like 93 miles an hour. Like
right.
All those StatCast people on my Twitter timeline are like, that's only a hit 21% of the time.
Yeah, he couldn't have busted a grape with that one.
Yeah, but a home run out to left. I'm like, Newman. And then, of course, they come on.
So what did you put down? What are you, 100? 50?
Yeah, it was
50?
Yeah, to win 50, so you were risking a little over 150. So, you know what I mean? It's a little bit of a sweat. And then the Cubs get shut out by Derek Holland for the next four innings.
That's how it works.
I'm like, this is unbelievable. Come on.
In National League speak for Daniel Mengden.
Yeah, but then then Ben Zobrist came through in the clutch. Speaking of overpowering pitching in the White Sox for a second, because Derek Holland's not that. I don't know if you caught any of the highlights or any of the read-up on it. I'm sure Tanny did, Mr. White Sox minor league baseball. Did you see Dylan Cease yesterday and what he was doing? His 99th pitch of the – or no, his 103rd pitch of the game was 99 miles an hour.
I read that, yes. I did see that nuggets.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just –
it's very exciting.
It's the second part of the – you sound excited.
Dylan Cease. Yeah, so when will he cease being a part of the farm system and we can go over to Guaranteed Rate Field and see him strut his major league stuff?
I don't have an answer.
Will it be this year?
I don't know if it'll be this
then
year.
Then I don't really care that much. Tell right, me about it next year. Tell me about it in spring training. If we're out in Maricopa County, you can regale me with stories about the flame-throwing Dylan Cease.
I tried, Tanny.
I got to be honest with you. I'm excited about Dylan Cease as anyone, but I'm not going to tap into that MILB.TV until Luis Robert makes his debut for the Dash. So, you know, what Dylan Cease is doing is great and all, but, you know, it's a long way away from me being like, okay, let's go.
All right, my bad.
I appreciate you, though. I really do. good
your
job, good
interest.
Effort.
Yeah.
My bad. You're wearing your Sox hat. Feel good baseball weekend. You got Lopez throwing tomorrow. I was just thinking maybe.
I have to be honest.
Lopez throw today or tomorrow?
Tonight.
My bad.
Tonight, yeah. I always honest. I've taken a White Sox break for about a week. I bet I watched, of their first 35 games, I bet I watched most of 28 of them, 29 of them. The last week, I have tapered off, and they've been hot. They split a series, and they won a series.
What do we have for them, Johnny?
You got to stick around for these games, Mac. Jace Fry coming in the seventh and eighth innings, shutting them down.
Yes.
Exciting stuff.
I want to be on board so much, but it's just so painful. It really is.
Yeah, it's painful, and it's not about right now. But, hey, we're 3-4 weeks away from Eloy coming up, right? If I said it June 15th, Tanny, you taking the over or the
under? I'm hearing a lot of people say July, mid to late July.
I'm just going off a pass and set on our show. So okay. you're saying July.
I've seen, yeah. I don't think anyone actually knows. People just love to speculate about the Super 2 stuff, but I think it's going to be late July.
But
okay.
the start time where they would benefit in terms of service time is only June 2nd or something like that, right?
Supposedly early June.
Yeah. So why wait until mid-July? What are you waiting for?
More seasoning. I don't know.
More seasoning.
I don't know what they're waiting for, but he'll be up here sooner than later. You'll have July, August, September.
Because we don't want him overwhelmed when they hit that August 1st mark where they got to make their push.
Let's be honest. There's no rush. They had a winning homestand. There's no rush to bring him up just yet.
That's true.
They're fine.
That's true.
Hall as well.
They got 4 out of 7, right? Is that the totals for the homestand? Yeah.
You should be as soon as you tune out.
I know.
As soon as you tune out. There they go. But no, the Cubs, they're fine. The weekend, I don't know how much baseball will be involved in your Memorial Day weekend.
Lots, absolutely. Well, you know, the beauty of technology. I may not watch it when it's transpiring, but I plan on watching all of it in terms of the Cubs because they're the team that has something now. They've got something for this year.
That's true.
So I'm going to watch every inning of it.
And all right, I respect your ability to watch baseball games on DVR. I really struggle if I know the result. I'll watch the recap on MLB.com, and I'll read everything if I miss a game. But watching a full baseball game if I know the result is very tough for me.
I used to be like that. I think now I value the trade-off of having a three-hour block the night the game is on to do with what I want, anything. Watch a movie, spend time with my wife, spend time with my wife watching a movie. There's all, you know, I'd rather watch it in the morning at 6, because I get up early, even whether I want to or not. I'm rarely sleeping past 6 o'clock, so that's an hour on my DVR. And I watch every pitch.
No, a three-hour baseball game down to 90 minutes or so is pretty spectacular. That's appealing. But as we talked about, I'm addicted to Twitter.
I mean, and I do love a lot of the commercials, especially during White Sox games when that local attorney, Howard, I think his name is Howard Aiken, when Aiken. He's got eyes again. You need an attorney, mate. You got to call my guy, Howard. He's the best lawyer in Miami. By the time he's done with you, you're going to be working in Alaska. So dress warm. That's Ozzie.
I love that endorsement.
I really thought Ozzie Guillen was in the room with us when I was looking down. And looking up, I'm shocked to see that he was not here.
We thought that was a good book by you, Shep, getting Ozzie on right now. Yeah, that's pretty good. Do you used to have Ozzie on the show regularly back in the day?
Not regularly, but he would come on occasion, sure. Wow. We're the Sox flagship. We always talk to him every training camp at least, and probably once or twice during the season.
No, it's just he was fun. My summers of interning at the old place with you, it was summer of Lou Piniella and Ozzie Guillen. It's a great summer to be cutting tape for baseball in Chicago.
Yes, it was. It was sound by fish in a barrel, right?
Yeah,
with those two characters.
I mean, Joe is great. Joe is as good as you can get in the modern culture of media where we're all vultures and there's so much clickbait stuff going on and a lot of the gotcha culture that's out there, unfortunately. Joe is as comfortable behind a mic as you can get with a sports figure these days. Him, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, people like that. But, man. Piniella and Ozzie was just like, I had to learn how to do the beeps and get all the expletives out. It seems like every day they were cursing at the press conference.
You're right about Madden. He is cerebral, and I think most Cubs fans appreciate his accessibility, the same with his bosses. And I'm not saying this because it benefits all of us here at The Score that they come on. I would feel the same way if we didn't have Cubs games here and they were on a different radio station, but they always did appearances. That goes a long way with your fan base. And yeah, you're doing it for us, but more importantly, you're doing it for the fans. The Cubs management team, all the way from about top, they're smart enough to understand that their media outlet is a conduit for them to reach their fans.
Yeah,
and they're smart about it.
They're very accessible, and they have been. And I think Rick Hahn is great at disseminating his information, like and the plan for the White Sox. I think he is really, really good at it. Some others I don't love it as much, but in terms of like the draw that the baseball fan in Chicago gets with Rick Hahn, Theo, Jed, Joe Maddon, it's pretty good in terms of your power brain trust.
I once heard somebody say that Rick Hahn is the Cubsiest employee in White Sox franchise history.
That's pretty good.
Because he has that PR polish that you're talking about.
Yeah, and I just respect the appearance of honesty and transparency, even if they will hold things back. And they all do, of course. Theo does. Jed does, of course. But the ability to say, listen, we're not judging it by wins and losses. It's about this. It's culture. We will spend money on free agency. Like they do a good job of setting the expectations for the fan base so you can hold it against them if they don't, or you can hold it up to them and say, hey, look, they lived up to their words. I think both sides of town do a good job at
and
that.
And I can't point to anything since I've been back. They've been on the station for a couple of years now. I can't think of an occasion as a listener or while working here where they've ever said anything that they've lived to regret, whether they ever went back on something and did something opposite of what they said they might do. I mean, what I'm saying is they've been upfront and they've not been inconsistent.
I mean, listen, every team has the occasional misstep when you're – baseball people talk an insane amount of times. Like, think about Joe Maddon every day is talking – you're doing pregame availability, you're doing postgame availability, you're doing your weekly appearance, you're doing your national appearances, you're doing your other guest spot. Talks 400 times a season in the regular season. So I could probably come up with and cherry pick, there's one or two in my head of times, but it's like, it's not even worth it to me because it was a day or two long story and then it moves on. Like baseball people, they have to talk so much, especially if you're Joe or the players. But in terms of GMs, Theo and Jed and Rick Hahn, I think do a really good job. One other person in terms of an individual on the Cubs that I think we should give an individual shout out to is Ian Happ, because we've obviously advocated for Almora, and that's been a huge conversation about making him an everyday player. The Cubs are doing a really interesting thing. Like, Jason Hayward is playing less, right? He's not playing 6 out of 7 days a week right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Schwarber is obviously hitting the ball and better than we thought defensively. We talked about that yesterday.
Kyle the Cannon.
I mean, the arm is just second in defensive war in the National League, according to Fangraphs. I mean, my God.
Golden Glove, here we come.
But Hap, his at-bats have been a lot better. His on-base percentage is up in the 340s, 350s. Now, just over the last 3 weeks, he's raised it significantly. Obviously, Almora's having a fantastic season. And Zobrist, at 37 years old, after we thought there was going to be the decline coming off of last year, he's been fantastic. Like, he was the exact guy you wanted up today when it was runners in second and third in the seventh inning, and he delivers the double. He is as sure of a thing for a quality at bat right now as the Cubs have. And so they're doing a nice job of juggling five guys for three outfield spots.
It's something that I've liked about Madden's approach since we first saw it when he got here, and it was his reputation with the Rays as well. Nobody is going to sit at the end of that dugout and collect dust. He's going to keep everybody involved. And that's the result of it. You get guys who are sharper, who don't feel maybe as much pressure because they're getting in the lineup a couple of times each week as opposed to sitting and waiting for their occasional pinch hit opportunity.
And Almora's playing a ton. I think he's played like 8 of the last 9 games, at least in some way, whether he pinch hit or came in as a defensive replacement. Like he pinch hit
when we were out there Wednesday. He was not in the starting lineup. He pinch hit late. Yeah,
right.
Struck out, I think.
Yeah, and he deserves to play that much based on how he's playing, but it's why at the beginning of the year when everyone was immediately clamoring for him to play every day, it was like, no, he's really good, and on a lot of teams he would, but you can't just shelve Ian Happ and let him collect dust. Kid's 23 years old and had a 24 home run season last year.
You're right.
When switch hitter, you know what I mean? Like there's value in other outfielders.
When it's the 28th of July and they finally pull the trigger with the Orioles and get Manny Machado,
I got it.
We then don't have to worry about some playing time for some people. Maybe Ian Happ will be in that deal.
Sure, and at some point there will be an unclogging of a logjam, right? But they all have their roles. Schwarber, you want his bat in there, especially against, you know, obviously against righties, but you want his bat in there.
And the gun.
And the gun.
Don't forget, 7-2 Kyle.
Almora, you want him in center field defensively.
Yes, you want him on that wall.
He mashes lefties, and he's doing pretty damn well against righties.
Hey, I love to watch him defend. I'm not kidding. He is such an exciting defensive player. He thinks he can go get everything.
Yeah, exactly. And then with Hayward, you want him in defensively in right field every single time you're leading a game late. So that's where his value is. Hap's got legitimate power and speed. And then Zobrist is a professional at bat as a switch hitter that you can plug in at the top of the lineup. Like they all have real tangible value. Obviously, Hayward is the least valuable of them because his bat's never coming around. But man, it's a real good problem to have. And I think that recently, just evidenced by how well Zobrist has been playing and how well Hap's been playing the last couple of weeks, Joe's doing a nice job of balancing those five guys for the three spots. Could be the end of an era of a gigantic sports story. Want to get into that with you coming up, and we'll continue to look ahead for the big Memorial Day baseball weekend. It's McNeil and Parkins with you until 6. We'll transition with Lawrence Holmes in about 30 minutes on the score. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score after a Cubs 6-2 winner over the Giants. Thanks for hanging out with us as you head into your Memorial Day weekend. Hope everyone enjoys it. Lawrence Holmes coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll talk to him in about 25 minutes or so. The NBA tonight could be the end of an era. A lot of people were out on LeBron when he did the decision and went to Miami. And, you know, he's one of the most polarizing athletes in the world at that time. And his approval rating increased immeasurably when he wrote that Sports Illustrated piece and went home. And obviously the charitable works that he's done for kids in Akron has been one of the great charitable works of any athlete ever. And won a title for Cleveland. tonight could be his last game in Cleveland as a Cav.
Well, yeah, I thought you were going to say overall because the home team has won every game in the series. Game six tonight being in Cleveland, I expect him to play large and get the help he gets when they're at home. As you've been pointing out, sometimes the role players perform better at home. And Will Perdue agreed with you the other day about that.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, and in this series, you can't deny it. I think that you can question it overall long term, but in this series, it's been undeniable. But not, I mean.
So where's the King going?
I mean, listen, I don't know. And he'll play in Cleveland again. That's why I said it. Just the last time in Cleveland as a Cav. But I hope it's not Houston. I'll tell you that. That's what a lot of people think. A lot of people think he'll, because Chris Paul is one of his best friends in the league, and go there and join up with a great team. I think he'll get crushed if he does that. Not that he cares or should care, and he doesn't owe Cleveland anything, but man, I'd be down for the Lakers. Like, as a basketball fan, if he wants to go try to build a super team and trade guys to get Kawhi or him and Paul George to go team up, like LeBron and the Lakers with his Hollywood ambition and Leo DiCaprio and Denzel and Larry David and Jack Nicholson courtside. Like, I'm here for it. Like, lots of guys go to L.A. late in their careers.
From his perspective, yeah, it those things sound a lot better than hanging out on the near the flats.
Yeah,
that's just not quite the same thing.
But he doesn't need to be in L.A. to get in movies. He owns his own production company, and he only can film movies in the off season.
Yeah, but it's got to feel like you're incarcerated when you spend 6 months. That's something that's very important to you if it is. And it seems like it is to him that you've got to wait as long as you do. 6 months of a regular season, then the postseason to be out of Cleveland.
Wouldn't the bashing come with any team he went to that's not Cleveland? Like, if he goes anywhere, Philadelphia, he's going to get ripped apart because they have the young core that's there.
Yeah, you'd be
Houston,
disrupting the process.
To. Los Angeles, he goes to the Lakers. It's while he's building another super team and he has to win with this. Like, it's going to be, unless he stays in Cleveland, it's going to be nothing's ever going to be like when he left for Miami, but it's going to be like a lot of the same stuff.
See, I don't think so because now that he,
that's just the faction who love to hate him. I don't think it'll be any newfound disdain for him.
Open up that whole conversation of, oh, he's got to go and
ring chase.
Exactly.
The thing is, though, I think he's conditioned sports fans to understand and appreciate free agency better. Obviously, some people will still hate him, and there's a cottage industry around hating LeBron James as led by their circus clown master, Skip Bayless. But so, yeah, if he goes to Philly, it feels like you're joining up with the team and you're disrupting the process. And I think as a basketball fan, most people want to see that be a little bit more organically built. Houston, they were the best team in the Western Conference, won 65 games this year. That would feel a little cheap, especially if they pull off the upset over Golden State.
They want it more organically built unless it's their team that's going out and plugging three players in the way they did in Miami.
Yeah, if LeBron wants to take a meeting with the Bulls, yeah. I'd be like, yeah, of course.
It's evil if it's anywhere but with your team's roster. I admired what those guys did. I thought more power to you. It just the timing worked out. And so what if they talked about wanting to do that as a group? Who wouldn't want to be with people they like and trust in business? And
not South Beach.
Yeah, not always is that opportunity going to be as fortunate as all the stars were aligned for that to happen. My hat was off to him.
Yeah, and he's changed the power dynamic in the NBA. I think that's going to be one of many of LeBron's lasting legacies will be that of player empowerment. Like, he signed one-year deals with one-year options, and they were player options. So if he blew out his knee tonight, he could just exercise his one-year option to make sure that he still gets his money for Cleveland. But other than that, he has to keep putting the pressure on ownership and his general manager to surround him with a really good team, spend, pay the luxury tax, or else he can leave. So he's going to just sign a one-year deal for the max with a one-year max option wherever he wants to go, because any team would create cap space to get him. And the other thing is, if he leaves, he won't handle it as poorly as he did last time in terms of – now listen, He raised $3.5 million for a Boys and Girls Club. It wasn't that horrible. But he's not going to hold a 30-minute special with Jim Gray when Jim Gray asks him if he still bites his fingernails.
I think he should. I might have been one of the few guys in America who didn't, you know, think that was in bad form. When you're that bit, if you reach that megastar status, you know, screw everybody else. You know, all your peers, if they don't have any appreciation for it, or the fans who aren't getting your services.
I get the anger was because he did it to his hometown. Like, if he would have been drafted by the Bulls.
A lot of it, sure.
If he would have been drafted by the Bulls as a kid from Akron, and he holds the television show and leaves for Cleveland, like, yeah, Bulls fans would have been furious. But I don't think that the nation would have felt sympathy for Bulls fans like the nation felt sympathy for LeBron doing that to Cleveland, that hadn't won anything with the fumble and the drive and all of the Cleveland sports.
Just angst. Pick a disaster. There were so many of them.
Yeah, but if he...
All the bleeding hearts of America unite for Cleveland's woes.
He's a 7-point favorite tonight. He looked like he did at the end of Game 7 of the Indiana series. Like, he was just, like, sucking down water, holding his shorts, pants. Like, he was tired from carrying that sorry-ass group of talent.
I would think that he gets fatigued during the course of his 44 minutes he plays.
But that's why I picked Toronto stupidly to beat him, because he looked like he was finally going to be human, and then all he did is go out and sweep the Raptors and make light work of it. But I assume LeBron will be dominant tonight. And they're at home, so I assume that Korver and Love and Thompson and all of the role players will continue to play better. And then it'll go to Boston for Game 7, where the Celtics have been the best home team in the playoffs. And it'll be, can 20-year-old Jason Tatum win a Game 7 against LeBron James?
I assume that would be Sunday night? Or would they play it on Monday because of the holiday?
I'm embarrassed that I don't have the answer for you as to
when
Game 7 is.
Because the NBA likes to make us wait sometimes. Maybe it's next Wednesday.
No, I don't believe so.
Cavs would be 7:30 Sunday night. If there's a Game 7 in the West, that'd be Monday night.
Sunday night. Okay. Perfect.
Perfect. So we got a game every day every day of the holiday weekend. If the series is long, we got an NBA game every day. I should have known that. That's my bad. Julie DeCaro has more information for you. Yeah, that VSiN Action update, they're trying to get the bill done quick in Illinois. I don't know if it'll work, but good for them. They also included poker in their online gambling legislation.
It's a skill game, Joe.
Makes me so happy.
I'm not surprised. I would suspect that any state that has had long-term financial despair is eager to move on this quick.
Yeah, I didn't. Now, we'll see if it happens, and we'll see if it gets done before the legislative session ends, and we'll see if everything that's proposed actually gets included in the final bill. But good for them, trying to totally maximize it. Daily fantasy, poker, sports gambling, an app. Like, they're trying to pardon the pun, go all in with it.
This is what we call progress.
Yeah. And, I mean, man, I need online poker back in my life.
Have it on a site you're on now?
No, with an IP address that's here, you can't do it. There is no
really. Bovada offers it, doesn't it?
Not. I don't.
I've never spent any. I don't like to play poker or any other table games.
The U.S. market for online poker when Black Friday happened back in 2000 and how do I not remember this exactly? 2007, somewhere around there.
Ish.
It was
between 7 and 10.
Yeah, it was it was just a crazy thing. And now the games have dried up, and a lot of it's international now. And I think it's Vegas and one or two other states, and you've got to do crazy computer things to get around it. And then there's cash out problems, but that's going to be an ancillary benefit of the sports gambling thing, is that online poker is going to come back. Poker Stars, the Sunday Million, my degenerates out there, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I imagine they do. They speak your language. All the
poker,
little
baby.
Parkins heads out there.
Oh, man. It was great. Turning Stone Casino, 18-year-old casino in upstate New York. Online poker was a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the golden age of degeneracy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's when you were at the height of your Joey Knish wannabe stage.
19, 20 years old.
John Turturro's character in Rounders is one of Parkins' fictional heroes.
Love that guy. Grinding it out on his leather ass. Get that rent money, Joe. It's noble work you're doing. Also, one more
and
NBA.
I love Canisius' reaction to that, too. The shrug he gave him. Like, well, the shoe mechanic. You don't matter, worm.
And he's got his stack of chips on his arm, just yes. ready to go grind another 2-5 game in AC. The other thing is, to all you NBA haters out there who say, I always know who's going to be playing for the finals. It's determined before the season.
This year you didn't. This year conference finals have been very, very compelling. Even though they've not been close individually, both series have a real good shot of going 7.
Yeah, and Boston and Houston are up 3-2 right now. Like, who would have thought the Celtics could have been playing for the NBA finals when Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward got hurt the first game of the yes. season? So their big free agent acquisition and their big trade target both get hurt, miss obviously, in Hayward's case, the entire season, and in Kyrie's case, a huge part of the season and all of the playoffs. And they're up 3-2 on LeBron with a chance to go to the finals tonight. And the Warriors, who were, even though they didn't have home court, still considered a heavy favorite for the championship and for the Western Conference, they're down 3-2 right now.
Yeah, and I like to see the best of the best. So I've been wanting Golden State to get there again. And even though Boston is the better team, I would be more interested in an NBA Finals that included LeBron James than
most
one
people
that
would.
Didn't.
I think the NBA would.
Yeah, I don't care if Golden State whips them in 4 straight. I would rather see an NBA Finals with the best player, one of the best players in the game's history.
I think everybody would. You know, that is absolutely.
So they could hate watch him?
Well, no, but I mean, some people love him, some people hate him, and to see greatness. Like, LeBron is still at the height of his powers.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
You know, so, and that's just, and for
his powers, like, he's a superhero.
Man, he is.
Yeah.
He played in 82 games this year. He's in year 15, and he's having, like, the most efficient season of his career. He is at the height of his powers at age 33. And for my generation of sports fans, whether you love him, hate him, or are indifferent to him, we watched every dribble. You know what I mean? Like, not literally, but, I mean, I saw LeBron James play at the United Center in the EA Sports Roundball Classic when he was in high school. You know what I mean? It's like
05-ish?
No. He was in the 03 draft, so this
okay.
was 2002.
02, okay.
Yeah, hit the game winner at the UC. Mustafa Shakur, the top point guard yeah. recruit to Arizona, was on the other team. How do you forget? Charlie Villanueva.
Yes, I know. Well, I remember Charlie, one of the more handsome men in NBA history.
Definitely.
And I remember Pax John was on the air with us the day of that game.
Really?
Up the dial and invited us to go, and you should have seen the look on Yurko's face.
Not interested.
And mine, too. I think
it was a great game.
Tiny, was it a good game?
Oh yeah, I think. I mean, I might be exaggerating the story, but Shep, check my memory here. 127-124 LeBron game winner. I might be pulling that right out of the.
Wow, look at you with numbers.
I mean,
typically they don't stick with you.
No, seeing LeBron in high school was a pretty spectacular thing. Look, EA Sports Roundball Classic 2003, I don't remember where it was on the calendar, when LeBron James was in the game. Is that the United Center? Maybe 147, 144, 127, 124, something like
120, that. 120, 119. LeBron hit a 7-foot bank shot with 25.2 to go. He finished with 28 points, 6 boards, 5 assists. 19,678 buzzing at every look, and his no-look passes are vicious slam dunks.
Thank you.
That's the writing of one Bob Sakamoto.
Sako, where you been?
All right, so it wasn't a buzzer beater. It wasn't a three. It was
you can
a
remember
point
it
game.
That way if you want to.
I'm going to choose to.
Yeah, I think.
I'm going to choose to.
You know, when Patrick Kane beat Michael Layton for that game winner in overtime in Philadelphia in game 6 on the 9th of June in 2010, I don't remember, you know, wondering what happened to the puck. As I recall it several years later, the water bottle on the top of the cage flew off and cracked the plexiglass on the boards. It was that big of a laser beam.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're in a post-fact world anyway. So don't let facts get in the way of a good story. We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes next on The Score. Lawrence Holmes in studio with us, McNeil and Parkins, ahead of the holiday weekend. What's up, man?
How are you guys doing?
Good. It's good to see you. I haven't seen much of you this week. What I caught of your Cubs pregame action, Lawrence, 4 stars. Very well done.
Thank you. I appreciate it. The pregame was easy. The pregame, I felt like I could do like TV. You just script it. I mean, I could write the whole pregame show because it's get in, get out. Like I was telling you on Twitter, I'm a traffic cop for pregame. Postgame, though, oh my God, there's a lot. There's a lot of juggling that goes on. Because you're like, oh, I want to.
You didn't have a lot of offensive highlights to juggle.
Well, it's true, but you have to figure out what you're going to use to highlight a particular segment.
Sponsorship segment, yeah. And all the benchmarks.
So you're trying to get all of that stuff in and juggle it all. It was fun, though. It was really fun to watch Pat work. Like, I enjoyed that. Like, just for all, we're radio geeks, so seeing the way that he prepares, what things are important to him, what things are important for him to write down, what things he's looking at. It was fun and educational for me to okay. watch Pat do his thing.
Cool.
And seeing Zach, I'm so happy for Zach. And I saw the piece that John Greenberg did in The Athletic. You got to understand, Zach and I have seen 10 seasons where DePaul has lost 19 games or more in a row. Okay.
Yeah. So, a lot of futility.
You should get combat pay for that.
For him to be able to call, not that he got to call in this iteration, but at least working on the Cubs broadcast, being able to call wins.
Yeah.
Like to be a part of a winning broadcast, I think is a fun big deal for him.
And a winning organization.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's not necessarily a shot at but obviously the caliber of the organization that you're dealing with is just, it's as good as it gets in sports right now. So, no, I thought it was a good angle that John Greenberg did in The Athletic. And Zach's a talented broadcaster.
He is.
Very versatile.
He's so good. And we got a couple that have kind of come through the ranks here at the Score that have gone on to do play-by-play stuff. Benetti, you know, was an intern here, and I don't say this to defame him, but I actually think he's better at basketball than baseball. He'll get to that level with baseball, but he's an incredible basketball play-by-play guy. And Zach is, I've seen another guy where I've had the opportunity to see how he works, and you're not going to outwork him. I mean, he is, and I got a chance to see that up close this week, where he's in the clubhouse, he's talking with Joe Maddon, he's building and fostering those relationships the same way that he did in the Bears locker room. And I agree with you, Danny. Like, it's such a difference. Covering any other league other than the NFL, everything's so cloak and dagger. And they think that they're reinventing the wheel and that they have this genius that they have to keep secret. Where with baseball, you can legitimately ask Theo about a player. He's going to go, yeah, this guy is bad. Let me tell you why he's been bad lately. Boom, 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 boom. I appreciate that level of transparency and honesty, and you don't get that all the time from the NFL.
I got to throw in a plug for my guy, Judd Surratt.
Absolutely.
If the topic is former Score guys who went on to do play-by-play, it started with the Wolves in the year they were born. He was
Did Jason leave, too, before that? Why can't I think of Jason's last name? Ball guy. White guy.
Jason Griffin?
Jason Griffin. Did he leave?
Yeah, that's the guy, Jason Griffin.
Did he go to Columbus before Judd left, or did Judd leave before?
I'm not familiar with the travel habits of one young Jason Griffin, but Judd these days is the voice of the Boston Bruins, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big hockey
job.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
They take their hockey very seriously.
When the Wolves, he was producing Terry and Me, and the Wolves call, Wayne called, and Grant Mulvey was running the show, Gino, and I said, hire him before someone else does. I'm going to hate to lose him, but take him. Please take him.
It's always nice when you see guys do that. Like, I have it in my quiver. It's not what I'm best at, but I have it in there in case I need it. But when you get the chance to see, like, Ronji would fill in occasionally and do play-by-play. Connor, I thought, was really good whenever he filled in and did some play-by-play stuff. I love that. Like, the radio geek in me loves seeing guys do stuff like that.
Yeah. You ever have a desire to do play-by-play, Parco?
I did it in high school and college. I've never done it professionally, so I don't know if I've ever cashed a check for play-by-play before. I don't.
Well, a lot of those jobs don't pay early on. No. Those minor league jobs.
I don't.
Or later on.
No, I always loved the idea. When I did both of it, I thought it was cool that even though the games were bigger, right? If you're calling, you could call a Syracuse basketball game or something like that. Like, they're not tuning in for you. And so that's what I love about the talk show. Even if the numbers aren't as big or the glory, whatever it is, like I'm making $9 an hour doing a talk show. Yeah, and I don't like travel.
Who's surprised by that in the other
No
room?
One should be, but I don't like traveling for work necessarily. Yeah,
you're a nervous flyer.
Yeah,
you're Eric Lindros.
I'll travel to do a vacation if my destination is awesome, but the idea of traveling with a Major League Baseball team or a minor league baseball team where you have to start out, like, that wasn't for me.
Well, I will tell you, it was a cool moment. On Wednesday night, there's a young lady who's been listening to Cubs broadcast since she was a little girl, and she's blind.
Yep.
And she loves Pat Hughes. So she was came into the booth to meet him, and she has a Cubs jersey with his name on the back
of it.
So she got Santo's number and Hughes' name on the back of it. And you forget that we do provide a service for people who are visually impaired.
No question.
And that is important, and being able to describe it. One of the things I love about play-by-play is that it's journalism at its purest form. Tell me what you saw. Now, look, there's Rashomon. That's right. The Rashomon effect of people not being able to see, you know, bunch of people with different perspectives see things differently. But I love the
Rorschach test.
I think Rashomon effect is what I'm looking for. Where if the three of us see something, we see it differently.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
But if it wasn't the Friday before a holiday weekend, I would have looked that up for you.
It's fine.
My bad, dude.
So tonight,
but you like that about play by play?
I love that. It's honest.
Say
it's,
it, help people.
Yeah,
of course.
It's boom, 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 boom. Tell me what you saw. It's really, really fun, and it's a challenge. And I was really honored to be a part of the broadcast over the last couple of days. It's going to be good. Wait, what do you got?
It's the Rorschach test.
No, not the word. I know what the
that's
word.
What it
that's
is.
Where
everybody,
you hold up the cards. Okay. I'm talking about the.
That's not what he's looking for.
I'm talking about the Rashomon effect of people witnessing things and seeing it differently.
Okay. Occurs when the same event is given contradictory interpretations by different individuals involved. The effect is named after Akira Kurosawa's 1950 film Rashomon, in which a murder is described in four mutually contradictory ways by its four witnesses. I'm really glad we got there.
See?
Yeah.
You were able to get it in before you get out of here.
My bad, dude. My bad. I didn't think I could.
1950, what a great year in film it already was. Now I got one more reason to love it.
There you go.
What do you have tonight for your 3 hours?
Tonight, we're going to have a little bit of fun. I want to talk a bit about LeBron. I threw it out. What do you think, Danny? More points or more minutes for LeBron tonight?
I will go with minutes. I think he's going the whole
48.
Way.
48.
Yeah, I think he's going the whole way. And if he's not, it's a problem. Or they're winning big.
Or they're winning big time.
Or they're winning big. But he looked
gassed.
Yeah.
He's got to stop shooing Ty Lue when Ty is like, hey, let me get you these 90 seconds off before the quarter ends.
Yeah.
Which in real time is going to be like 5 or 6 minutes. He's got to stop doing that.
I know. But he sees it. Like, he's a basketball genius. And he can tell in the first 6 minutes of a game if his guys don't have it. And in that last game, his guys didn't have it. They were all awful.
If I'm him, I looked at Chris Paul grabbing his leg last night and was like, I might be able to win this championship.
Right. Right. Houston wins the game. No, of course. He thinks that even if Chris Paul plays, though. I think he thinks he can beat Houston, but knows that he can't do it against Golden State.
So we'll do that. We'll do That'll some baseball. Mitchell Trubisky talk with Matt Nagy, who was on NFL radio today. An interesting comp for what Nagy thinks so far of Trubisky.
Oh, I'll be eager to hear that.
Lovely. Have a good weekend. Have a good holiday weekend. And I saw you're working Monday with
Mark Brody. Yeah, me and Totes McGroats are going to come in here and do 9 a.m. to noon.
Very cool.
Have a little fun. I wanted to do a little radio experimentation. So Memorial Day is the perfect time to do such a thing.
Groats McGoats.
Thanks to Julie
that.
For the update. Shep and Tanny. Mac.
Parco, go do whatever it is you do when you're not here.
I know what that is.
My man. My man. Going to set some personal records this weekend for degeneracy. No, just kidding. Long weekend, man. You got to enjoy the holiday. Have a good weekend, everybody. We're back on Tuesday. McNeil and Park is on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.